Welcome to the Shitposter.club Anime Review Podcast. I am Dad, your host. With me is Cool Boy Mew.
Hey, hey.
And Full Metal.
What is up, my African American?
We're here to cover more of spring of last year.
Yeah, so we're continuing with anime of the decade, the 2020 decade, anime of the year 2022.
So there's a lot of good stuff last year.
Yeah, the first season was kind of okay, but then it starts going better and better and better from there. I think we're still into like an okay season, I think, and it will go. It's getting better. It's definitely getting better, and then starting at summer, we're gonna go with like the massive heavy year.
All right, should we start with your shoutouts or?
Yeah, with the shoutouts as usual.
All right.
So it's something that I've dropped, unfortunately. Let me just open an list so that we can get the freaking synopsis. I don't know. I dropped it. I don't need to read it. So it's Kawideki Genai Shikimori-san, also known as Shikimori's Not Just a Cutie. Yeah, all right. This one, yeah. Unfortunately, it's a one trick pony. So you have this kind of pathetic, unlucky dude who has a girlfriend called Shikimori-san. She just wants to be this cute girl, but she has to be dependable because of her boyfriends always get into weird situation, and she ends up like looking cool instead of looking cute. So it sounds like it'll be a great premise, but from the few episodes I've seen, it was extremely repetitive.
It's basically the same problem.
Yeah, it was the same shit over and over and over again.
Yeah, and this looks so cliche that I didn't bother with it.
Yeah, it is cliche. It's even more repetitive than, let's say, Yuzaki-chan, which at least managed like to have a few jokes up its sleeve. This didn't. And talking of that, so far Tomo-chan is still impressive.
Yeah, so far Tomo-chan's actually really entertaining.
Yeah, and it's not going into like a dumb repetition like this. So watch Tomo-chan instead.
Yeah, it's kind of a similar premise without being fucking terrible.
Alright, so moving on to something disqualified due to a conflict of interest because I fucking subbed it.
Kami-san, you have more integrity than any video games journalist then.
Yeah, exactly. Kami-san wa Kamisho desu season 2. Oh, fucking hell. Kami-san.
Everybody loves
season 2.
Everybody loves Kami-san.
Yeah, this was pretty great, and this is the season that we got like proper typesetter for it. And honestly, I cannot fucking believe we did this weekly. Fuck, it's at least like between four people, minimum 20 hours of work. So that we could bring you these episodes.
Because
we
did
this weekly.
Yeah, because there's a lot of text on screen, right?
Yeah, like about 100 per episode. And some of it was moving. So the typesetter had to do the animation.
I crunched the numbers in my head, and I just don't understand how you exist. So, like, you work a full-time job, you sub anime, you watch, like, 100 hours of fucking anime, and you play these, like, 90-hour JRPGs.
Yeah.
What, are there multiple of you? Are you, like, a hive mind?
Bro, this is why that at the end of this season, I was almost sick from it. Like, I was almost...
Is that why you got sick? It was just... That's what you called off that one week? It's just because you had an accumulation?
No.
Anime overdose.
No, that was just a few weeks ago. That was seasons ago. But man, I was like getting like physically sick at the end of this. I'm really glad this is over.
Yeah, no shit. Your ass was probably fused into your chair. You became more chair than man.
But yeah, this took a massive fucking toll on me. And I don't know how the French guy did it, because that season, the guys were subbing, like, because they're actually two to three different groups. And I think the guys were subbing, like, seven fucking shows. I don't know how the fuck they do it.
Some of that Japanese work ethic is rubbing off on the weebs.
Maybe, but the guys actually did like way more fucking work than me, and they too had like full time jobs. So I don't fucking know how they did it, but they did it. And they have to do it less lately because I think that one of their French streaming services fused with Crunchyroll or some shit, and they have another French streaming services. So the only shit that pisses them off is Sentai, because Sentai grabs an international license, and they don't play any internationally. So this is kind of awkward, but whatever. We're going like way off topic.
Now we're still talking about anime. It's fine.
Well, yeah, but we're not talking about Kamisan. So Kamisan,
yeah, we kind of skipped over that.
Kamisan season 2, it's more Kamisan, more crazy character. I really love the new character of the delinquent that looks really fucking tough, but in the end, he's just kind of like Kamisan. That he just wants to make friends, but he just intimidates everyone else.
So it's kind of really like the opposite. He's just scary.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like the guy from Angel Densetsu.
But yeah, great season, but I'm glad it's over. So yeah.
All right, let's move on then.
At some point, the Kamisan Twitter were teasing a big announcement, and our private chat, we were shitting our pants. We're like, no, not season 3 this soon, please. Thankfully, it turned out that it was just Kamisan being like advertising some cosmetics in Japan, which is really fucking cool. But anyways, let's just fucking move on. Oh yeah, all right. So here's the shitty. So I talked about like the sage with the greatest crest or something, which is kind of like that was last season. It was okay. It's an okay show. This is the one that I've talked about that is really, really fucking shitty. It's known as Shijo Saikyo no Daimao Murabito e Nitensei Su, also known as the greatest demon lord, is reborn as a typical nobody.
Okay, I almost watched this and then you turned me away from it. So.
I told you no, don't fucking watch this. It starts like okay, it's kind of amusing. It was like the crest one. Like it's amusing, nothing big, but then especially near the end, it got into a massive fucking arc where they time traveled to something that happened in the past. It was amazingly shit. It was boring, and that's how it ended. What a fucking shit show. And the worst thing is that I've seen that the light novel and possibly the manga are mega etchy, apparently. But not the show.
I didn't bother watching this one. It looked inferior to Misfit of Demon King Academy.
Yeah, it is absolutely inferior. And I didn't call it my Lehman of the season, but I think I'm going to call it my Lehman of the season. There's another element of the season that deserves it even more. But yeah, this is shit. Don't watch it. There's another one that I forgot to put drop. It's what the fuck is open? There you go. It's Gaikutsu Shishisama Tadaima Isekai e Odekakeshu, also known as Skeleton Knight in Another World. I also dropped this, I think, fucking episode one. I think we complained about this in another episode. The fucking Skeleton Isekai starts, like, literally, it starts with like being almost raped by a bandit, and it's like, I don't know, man.
Yeah,
it's fantasy. You gotta have some bandit rape.
But it was so weird because the rest of the show didn't really have as much of that like going on. I watched that show to completion, and it wasn't really worth. No, yeah, I watched the whole thing. It wasn't really worth it. It is the most generic isekai ever. It is every isekai you've ever watched.
Yeah, episode one, I actually finished episode one and was kind of, and I think that Jones told me that this was shit, so I already had like no confidence in this, and then Jones just came and just said like, yeah, this is trash, so I just dropped it.
Now, if he hates something that's about skeletons, it must be absolute garbage.
Yeah, pretty much.
One of the Annie List reviewers calls it the Walmart Overlord.
Kinda. Great value Overlord, a little bit. He's not even he's just a generic adventurer. He doesn't do anything interesting aside from him being a skeleton. It's literally every anime you've ever, or every isekai you've ever seen.
Well, in Overlord, there's a part where he disguises himself as a generic adventurer. But
that's more intriguing.
Yeah, screw this. Let's move on.
Let's move on to something that's a bit that's actually pretty decent. But the problem is, anyways, I'll tell the title first. Otomege Sekai wa Mob ni Kibishi Sekai de, also known as Trapped in a Dating Sim, the world of otome games is tough for moms. Can you read this up, says Dad?
Office worker Leon is reincarnated into a particularly punishing dating sim video game, where women reign supreme and only beautiful men have a seat at the table. But Leon has a secret weapon. He remembers everything from his past life, which includes a complete playthrough of the very game in which he is now trapped. Watch Leon spark a revolution to change this new world in order to fulfill his ultimate desire of living a quiet, easy life in the countryside.
So here our protagonist got like blackmailed by his, what was it, his bitch sister to actually finish to actually finish the game so that he can record some sort of custom voice line with her name in it or something. And while he was playing the game, he forgot to eat. He went to try eating, and he just fucking died in the apartment stairs or something stupid.
And yeah, it wasn't very clear.
He got isekai'd into this otome game, and it's kind of like a parody of your otome game. So because he's a man, he's absolutely fucking fucked in this world. And he just tries to live the quiet, easy life, but of course he ends up doing all sort of shit that makes him go into the spotlight. And what's especially great about this is that the main character is a magnificent asshole.
Yeah, he is. I love characters that are just unabashed assholes.
Why are you watching this? Because you won't see the character just be an absolute fantastic asshole. And this is why this is great. And we're getting a season two. And apparently season two is supposed to is supposedly going to finish I believe like the first three volumes of this are decent, and then it just get like bad and boring, and we're all going to get like everything decent about it animated. So that's great.
I saw one episode of this. It was pretty good, but I didn't continue. I think I got distracted by something else.
I've heard that criticism from online friends is that the pacing of this is actually pretty bad. Like the scenes are kind of stretched. Everything is a bit slow, and I kind of agree. I had a bit of a hard time watching the episode at points. Like my ADHD was kicking in, but otherwise this is pretty decent.
Yeah, you watched some of it, didn't you, Full Metal?
Yeah, I watched all of it. I thought it was pretty entertaining. I do agree the pacing is kind of not great. It drags on a little too much, and it really didn't need to.
But it's not a massive problem, I think. The showman ages to be good despite of that.
Yeah, it's good in despite of it. So it's still definitely worth checking out. I like the premise. Instead of it just being like isekai'd and now I'm like overpowered, it's like he does kind of get overpowered because he like knows like where the DLC items from the game are, which is kind of funny. So this works as a parody, and it's also like a decent isekai too.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it gets its cake and eat it too. What a terrible fucking what was that called? Anyways, but it does it well, and I'll definitively be watching season two. However, I think the art style is a little strange. Like the art
style. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like the fucking eyes, the faces, it's really weird, but... Yeah,
too much CG, maybe?
No, I mean, look at the banner on Annulist. Look at the eyes. There's something unsettling about it.
Yeah, it's kind of going back to that older style where the eyes take up like 80% of the girl's face.
Yeah, but despite that, it still doesn't look like disgustingly bad. It's just that I just wish
it's
that
just a little different.
I just wish that a slightly better art style, but anyways, let's just move on.
Alright, next on the list is Data Live 4.
Data Live 4 and Season 5 is announced. So yeah, so unfortunately, we got a fucking studio change, which meant art style change, and this is always bad. It took me a while to get into it, and despite that, I ended up enjoying it. So Itsuka Shido still manages to save even more girls than this. I think I somewhat didn't like the first arc of this because the manga girl ended up being kind of annoying and a bitch, but otherwise, the rest of the arc are pretty golden, and we got an arc with best girl finally. So we finally get an arc involving Kurimito Kisaki, which is one of the best girl ever. And yeah, so this was pretty satisfying, and the end of it is pretty fucking crazy. And I'm looking forward to more.
I've never seen this. Just heard you say good things about it.
Yeah, I'll avoid talking about it again because I've been talking about it like fucking six times already. So let's just move on. Unless you really want me to.
Now, let's wait until one of us has something to say.
Yeah.
Alright, so let's move on. Another thing that was actually pretty surprising that season, Shoki Shoujo no Virgin Road, also known as The Executioner and Her Way of Life. I'll read the synopsis. When interdimensional travelers from another world land known as Japan appears, they often bring death and destruction. It's up to the executioner like Minho to track and exterminate the lost ones before they wreak havoc. When Minho encounters a beginning lost one named Akari, it's bloody business as usual, until Minho discovers Akari can cheat death. That is, even so, Minho has a job to do. She is committed to her executioner's mission, come hell or high water, provided her newly stirring feelings don't get in the way.
This one had an interesting premise. Like, people get isekai to this fantasy world, and the people there just kill the people from Earth immediately because they're sick of their bullshit.
Yeah, because they come with superpowers, and at some point they go berserk.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting premise, but I did not care for this anime. I thought it was kind of lame.
Yeah, you didn't like that the main character had some what was it? She believes herself to be the bad guy, and you thought that made like no sense.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it was just like stupid. I didn't really understand like what they were really going for exactly.
Well,
it's like, well, my point about the bad guy thing is nobody ever believes that they are the bad guy. Evil people don't believe they're evil. They just do evil shit thinking they're doing it for a good reason. Or they're just self-centered, but they think they themselves are the good reason.
I feel like that it ends up correcting itself because of plot points.
But how many episodes does it take to get to that?
A bunch. Do you want me to just spoil it?
Yeah, that's kind of the problem.
Do you want me to just spoil it?
Because
Because it's just kind of obvious.
I don't think anyone's going to get mad about this being spoiled, but
basically, the church that Minho works for is evil.
Oh, who could have suspected that the church is evil? That's never been a plot point in any fantasy series.
So I feel like it ends up correcting itself. So,
does she join forces with the isekai people to fight against the church or something?
Well, she joined forces with Akari, which Akari is actually it's kind of interesting in that Akari knows what's happening. She ends up turning back time and making it so that she herself doesn't remember what happened. And it's not bad at all. I kind of really like this.
Okay, but you know what anime had a very similar premise but did it 10 times better? Nana.
Yes.
Talentless Nana. Yeah. Same fucking premise, way better.
Yeah, of course. That we gave this almost like anime of the year then. Or something like that.
Talentless Nana was so good, dude. It went so under so many radars. It was honestly really good.
I still read the manga. It is a shame that every month it's taken some interesting new directions. But
is it
anime?
Still good?
Yeah, I freaking love it. But it'll probably never get a second season because it wasn't that popular.
We don't know. Yeah. We don't know.
There's always a chance that it could end up going, like, I don't know, if it's picked up on, like, a major streaming platform, it could see some resurgence in views, but I just remember this one, nobody, like, gave two shits about this anime. That was really a crying shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known about it until Mew told me about it on an early episode of this podcast, because he watches freaking everything.
Yeah, this is why I like following random shit during the season, because that's really when you can like discover weird stuff that nearly nobody will talk about again.
Oh yeah, there's so much good shit that I've just discovered because somebody somewhere said, "No, this is really good. You have to give it a chance." I'm like, "All right," and then Like for instance, Bastard. I wouldn't have watched Bastard if Dad didn't like make me, and I ended up really enjoying it.
Yeah, and since we have so much knowledge, Dad has like manga knowledge, and I have like seasonal knowledge. That's what I wanted to share.
And I have normie knowledge.
With our powers combined, we are an okay podcast, almost a fun, I guess.
Yeah, we're an almost okay podcast.
Yeah, I still believe our opinions are better than the fucking mainstream.
Yes, we're based in their cringe.
Yes, normies get out.
But anyway.
Anyway, moving on to something I had to drop because it's a slice of life in that season. I'm already doing too much. Just imagine, I was subbing Kami-san that season. And I'm not even finished with the anime we're going to talk about. So that's why there was like a bunch of drop too. So Deaimon, also known as Deaimon Recipe for Happiness. Nagumi Irino returns to his Kyoto home for the first time in 10 years when his father is hospitalized. Nagumi is eager to take over Ryokusho, the family's Japanese sweet shop. But he's instead asked to be a father figure to Itsuka Yukira, the girl everyone calls a successor. But yeah, this is a shit synopsis because it doesn't say enough. So Nagumi is a useless fucking son who quit the family business that he was supposed to inherit because he wanted to pursue a career in music. He's a fucking failure. So he came back, and then suddenly there's this little girl who has taken over his role. And this little girl has been abandoned by her father. She doesn't know where he is. And Nagumi's parent just ended up adopting her. And that's the premise.
So how much food porn is in this?
Not an amazing lot, but it's kind of interesting to see Japanese sweets because I don't know shit about them.
Yeah, Japan has a whole different thing with their sweets, but yeah, I don't know. I watched some of this too. I watched a couple episodes, and the whole time I'm just like, I ended up dropping it too because I had too much shit to watch, and I was like, this isn't really that interesting. Yeah, and I feel like Barakamon had a similar premise, but did that better.
This is kind of sweet, but yeah, this is a slice of life. I watched too much, and I was subbing Kami-san, so this had no fucking chance.
Ah, too bad.
Yeah, I didn't think it was terrible. I just thought it was okay. That was sort of the problem with a lot of anime in 2022 is, in a sea of like great shit, there was also a lot of decent stuff that any other season would have gotten more attention, but was just completely mogged by all the big hitters.
Oh, exactly. The next two seasons are basically going to be like nothing but that. The next two seasons are so fucking darn good. But anyways, let's move on to yet another drop. See, it's Kono Healer Mendoku Saya, also known as Don't Hurt Me, My Healer. I'll read the synopsis. The story of the series follows Alvin, a knight with saintly patience for annoying people, and Carla, a dark elf healer with a sharp tongue and a rotten personality who always speaks without thinking first. Together, they form a party and go on a fantastical adventure. What the show doesn't tell you is that I believe in the first episode, accidentally, Carla cast a curse on the knight, and the knight is kind of just stuck with her because he cannot go too far. If he just lose her, he'll die from a curse or some bullshit, and they have to go on an adventure to just find the ingredient for a cure or whatever the fuck. I actually fucking hated this.
Yeah, there's a much better healer anime you should be watching.
Yeah, god damn it.
that frantic healer anime. But yeah, this is supposed to be a comedy, but the problem is that Carla is really fucking annoying. She is mostly not funny. She is just irritating. And it's more annoying than funny. However, it's not a complete loss. Like, I watch, I think, 3 episodes. I always end up hating the beginning of the episode. But then I slowly warm up to it as stuff is happening. But, of course, I wasn't going to continue this. This is not a complete loss. Maybe it will be exactly your cup of tea, but I just fucking hated this. So, yeah.
But it still didn't make your lemon of the season?
No, because like I said, it's not a... The episodes are not a complete loss. So, yeah.
Yeah, let's move on then.
Alright, so let's move on to... Oh god, that was the start of the really good year for Love Live.
Ugu.
We got Love Live! Nijigaseki Gekken School Idol Dokokai 2, also known as Love Live! Nijigaseki High School Idol Club Season 2. So known as simply Love Live! Nijigaseki. This is the third series in Love Live! With the third cast. It's the second season of, well, the series that shouldn't even happen. What happened is that they were developing a new app. The company got a bit greedy and wanted like new characters for it. So they formed an idol group out of actually not new idols and VAs. This time, it's actually idols and VAs that were actually already in the business. And because Love Live! Superstar was taking too much long, they actually gave this the season one of this a chance. And it ended up that Nijigaseki ended up more popular than they expected. And the season ended up being more of a hit than they expected. So we got season two. And now we even have an OVA plan. We have no idea what it means by OVA because it's supposed to be like in theaters, so it might even be like a full fucking movie or something. We'll see.
So I have not seen this, but for the sake of generating controversy, I need to ask, who is best girl?
Who is best girl? I love Kazumi. But the real best girl of Nijigaseki is the self-insert character, Yu Takesaki. And yes, Yu was chosen exactly because she's Yu, the player character. Because what happens is that in the mobile game, you get a nameable character that you're never supposed to see. But she was put in the anime and was given a name and a face. And she's kind of ironically best girl.
So the real best girl was you all along.
Yes.
You are the best girl.
Well, it's kind of awkward to say, but she's a wonderful fucking character. You'll have to watch this to see what I mean by that.
Yes, you have to. Nah.
All right, anyways, let's move on.
All right, next is Q.
Q, it's another drop. Too much fucking character. So, all right, Q, based on an idol training mobile game produced by Libra Entertainment and Pony Canyon, the brand new voice actor of this, Air Blue, has no track record or experience. Aspiring voice actors with rich individuality are signed on to the office. They do their best to achieve their dreams, but it's a tough world out there. No matter how much they practice, not everyone will pass the audition. This was a very tough first few episodes because they introduced like 16 fucking characters at on.
But you just praised some idol shit that had way too many characters.
No.
How is this any different?
Love Live! Nijigasaki only had like 9-10 characters, and season one takes its time to introduce everyone one by one. So everyone and Nijigasaki gets their own episode in season one. And season two, then they introduce 3 new main characters that are somewhat central to the plot. This introduced 16, like between 10 to 16 characters on the first episode. This was a tough.
Too much to deal with. I can see that.
Yeah, it was a tough pill to swallow. So the plot is you have these new idols and they want to get into the industry. They end up being in small groups that has their own focus episode. But yeah, I ended up finding this somewhat boring because there's too much characters, too much thing going on. And then like you start warming up to some characters and then all the focus goes to other characters for a while. And then I don't know, I didn't have time for this shit.
Fair enough.
Yeah, there's only so much idol shit even Mew can take. And from what you said, this one appears to be lower quality than the rest.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I say it was lower quality. They certainly tried, but God darn, like the big dump of like of all these characters at the same time, that was really painful. That was really too much. Anyways, let's move on to a fun short called Atasha Kawashiri Kodama Dayo, Dangerous Life Hacker No Datareta Seketsu, also known as Kodama Kawashiri. That's just the English title. Anyways, the synopsis, the story depicts the lazy, unhealthy daily life of Kawashiri, who loves alcohol and anything greasy, salty, or sweet. I believe she's supposed to be a mangaka. And this is the life of the mangaka author. And if you find her character design weird, she's supposed to be a kappa. You know, those
turtles. Yeah, I kind of figured that part.
Huh? I did not notice.
Does she drown and rape any children?
No.
And she's not a real kappa. Stolen valor.
But yeah, anyways, it's like a 3-minute short. It's amusing. And there's not much to say about it. Just watch it and you'll see what it's like. Bro, I think the intro is like 1 minute 30 seconds.
That's okay.
I think it might also have an ending too. So I think the short is only like a minute long.
That's kind of funny, actually. There's more intro and outro than show.
It's got a shitty rating on AnnieList, 52%.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people didn't like this.
I'm not surprised, but I kind of enjoyed this. It just some girls making some really fucking shitty decision.
Most modern women.
I know, not like most people. You know, like have you already ordered? Let's say you're ordering at a restaurant. Have you already ordered like too much food or something like that? Because you were fucking greedy.
Oh, that's what she does every day.
Not every day, but you know, it just kind of happens. Watch an episode, see what it's like. It's really likable, but there's really nothing to say about this because I fucking won the truck.
All right. So next on the list is Tomodachi Game.
Yeah, can you read the synopsis of that?
High school student Katagiri Yuuchi, who values friendship above all else, enjoys a fulfilling life with his close friends Sawagiri Shiho, Mikasa Tenji, Shiba Makoto, and Kokorogi Yutori. However, after a particular incident, they're dragged into a debt repayment game. The only way to beat the Tomodachi game is to not doubt their friends. Bound together by solid friendships, the game should have been easy, but the hugely popular comic that sold over 2 million copies is finally becoming an anime. Will they trust or betray their precious friends? The true nature of humanity is exposed in the ultimate psychological game.
If you then know Tomodachi means friends.
This was freaking great.
It was great.
I binged all of it and then read all of the manga.
It actually delivered, I think. So we're not sure. Is it going to deliver? And I'd say that, yes, it did deliver.
Yeah, as the manga goes on, the games get crazier. It introduces more titty monsters. I love it.
Yeah, and the manga is more ecchi than the anime ended up being. But I think this is not like a massive mark for this compared to the Demon Lord one, where there's really nothing else and being ecchi called at least be something that it could be, you know?
Yeah, the main emphasis is still on the games themselves and the personalities of the players within them.
And then there's interesting twist and turn, and it's one of those psychological anime, and it does it great. So I really recommend it.
Yeah, if I have any complaint, it's that the protagonist is like too overwhelmingly smart and everything always goes according to Keikaku for him.
Yeah, but I think it's one that does it right compared to what was it, a game in like 5 seconds where the dude is made out to be like the smartest guy ever and it just dumb. This actually delivered, I think. No?
Yeah, it does a good job of setting things up and fulfilling on those promises. So it's still a really good series, and I strongly recommend it.
You watch it for me all?
I never finished it. I watched the first, I don't know, 3 or 4 episodes. I forget where I dropped it. But I don't know. I kind of just, I lost interest in it after a while. I didn't think it was terrible. I just didn't think it was that interesting.
Sure.
I have a fondness for these high-stakes gambling kind of games.
Oh, sure. When they're great, they're really fucking great. It's all the, you're really watching this for all the twists and turns, the whole moment.
Yeah, I feel like Kaiji kind of did the same thing better, and so did Kakaguri, but
yeah, Kaiji is the best gambling series, though.
Yeah, yeah, but there's only so much Kaiji, and there's only so much Kaiji, so.
Yeah, so if you like those, you might like Tomodachi. I might come back to it eventually, but I just have so much other shit.
And I'm always recommending the manga Liar Game, which is another one in this genre.
But all right.
Anyways,
so let's move on to the last shout out of the season. This was a late pickup because fucking Netflix just dropped it. And so Termae Romae Novae, Lucius, a bad designer in the Roman Empire, accidentally slips back in time to present-day Japan and learns about Japanese bad culture and this comedy. Jesus, this is a small synopsis, but it explains that
it's about all there is to it. It's a guy from ancient Rome who gets isekai'd to modern Japan and bathes.
And he just keeps isekai'ing back and forth. and use what he learned to make bat. And yeah,
he loves the bathhouses and not for the sodomy.
Well, those were Greek bathhouses. Those are different things. But so did watch this. So is the premise that like Roman bath culture was born from modern Japan culture because of this guy, or is
not born,
let's invent modern bathtubs because they're sick of shit?
No, it's just an amusing coincidence.
He didn't invent bat culture. The thing is that the mangaka actually studied in Italy. And, you know, Greek baiting culture is a lot like Japanese baiting culture. So, you know, so she made this amusing manga about it, about a Greek dude that just goes forward in time, finds out about, you know, all the cool Japanese baiting thing, and he tries to replicate it, and that's it. That's the premise. That's every episode, and it's pretty decent. I
wonder how you can make that go for like a full season, like 30-minute episodes. It seems more like that would be a short.
Yeah,
you know?
That's the thing. It was a short.
Yeah, and in 2012, it had a, what was in it, an OVA. But that one had really cheap, shitty animation. It was like a slideshow.
Yeah, and this is much better. Also, this kind of has like weird animation. It's not, it's animated weirdly, but it still looks good. And yeah, this is really, as far as I've seen, a more proper adaptation of the manga, I think. And it's pretty good, but yeah, it's kind of a repetitive premise, but I quite liked it.
It's comfy.
The movie adaptation is really good. The movie is really, really good too. So there you go. And from the same author, there was also an anime that I talked about previously, Besatsu Olympia Kiklos, which I described, you know, it's the same thing, but about the Olympics.
And yeah, that was the one that had mixed animation and live-action photos of statues, right?
Yeah, and it's really fucking good. It's an amazing shitpost. That's what I described it as.
All right, I'll add that one to my planning to watch list.
So yeah, so the stuff from this manga has been pretty fucking good so far, and I hope that that more of her stuff is animated because it's really fucking unique.
Okay, let's move on to your Lemon of the Season, shall we?
Yeah, Lemon of the Season, Shield Hero Season 2.
Damn it. The first season was so compelling. It had so much cool shit going on. And then in the second season, it just becomes generic fantasy.
Yeah, I recall that to me.
And not even good generic fantasy. Just like boring generic fantasy.
Yeah, me and Full Metal, I recall that we had the same reaction. Like, I watched episode 1 and immediately somehow I was angry. I was like, wow, who gives a shit? And
yeah.
Especially
with the fucking turtle thing. I'm like, oh my god.
That went on way too long.
From what I understand, they skipped an entire arc to explain like the village thing. So that was stupid. So we got like some fucking character that we don't know who the fuck they were. They were like shoved into our face. And then suddenly an emergency... Yeah. And then the turtle thing was really fucking stupid. Hated all of it. I watched, I think, 7 episodes. There was some interdimensional dude from another dimension that apparently they go into. And he was the cause of the fucking turtle shit. It was just shit.
Yeah, he was a real generic bad guy.
Yeah, I think I stopped at literally the same point. I was like 6 or 7 episodes in, and I was just tapped out. I was like, no, this sucks actual cock.
Yeah, I couldn't take it anymore. It was an awful fucking arc. And man,
oh god, it was so disappointing.
God, we waited this many years, this many delays for this shit. Good fucking lord.
Yeah, the fucking first season was so popular, it got approved for 2 seasons right after it ended.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're already planning a third season, and I just like, man, I don't even care at this point.
I have some good news, though. I'm reading the manga every month, and recent chapters seem to be picking up. It has a new storyline where our protagonist is using slavery towards good ends.
Based. God, if only they fucking... I don't know why they do this shit, man. They'll
probably animate it in a few years.
Yeah, but I'm not going to watch it because season 2 was a fucking disaster. I had to drop it.
Yeah.
And so, you should watch season 3 when it comes out eventually, but I don't blame you for skipping it because season 2 just sucks.
Yeah, you know how they do those, like, those shitty episodes where it's like a summary of like half a season or a whole season of anime and they pretend like it's a new episode? This is like the one time that would actually be good where it, like, they just summarize the entire second season in like 30 minutes.
Yeah, or made a condensed movie out of it or something.
Yeah, probably.
Just give me the plot points and then maybe I'll watch season 3.
All right. Anyway,
this is dog shit.
Fuck this shit. I'm not watching anymore. Let's move on to anime of the season. There is actually 4 entries this time because one actually somehow manages to impress. I know I'm going to get shit for this because some people really fucking hated this.
You are. Yeah, what? You are. Go on, though.
You are going to get shit.
Yeah, I am going to get shit, but I fucking love this, and I felt like it just kind of impressed more and more. So it's number 4, Yusha Yamemas, also known as I'm Quitting Heroine. So can anyone read the synopsis?
I got it. After saving humanity from the despicable Demon King, Leo Demonheart does not earn a hero's standing. Instead, he is regarded with suspicion and hostility by those he fought to protect. Treated as a pariah with nowhere else to run, exiled Leo seeks a position in the army of his former nemesis. But the army is not what it once was before its defeat at Leo's hands. So to maintain his new position, Leo must whip the forces back into fighting shape.
Yes, yeah, basically the Demon King, or more like the Demon Queen, because it's a girl, doesn't really want to hire him, but all of the 4 demon general kind of likes him, so he disguises himself and attempts to fix the problem. It turns out that he ends up like helping the 4 demon general before the demon lord discovers his identity.
Yeah, so this premise is fucking retarded. I'm sorry. That makes no goddamn sense.
Did you finish the anime?
No. Remember when I messaged you and I said, when does this anime get good? Because you promised it was good. And you said, it's all good. And I was like 7 episodes in and I was like, okay.
Yeah, I think you stopped just before like the
oh, really? Did I stop just before it got good? Yeah, did no, I?
You stopped before the plot drop. What doesn't make sense in this?
One of the tags is one of the tags on AniList is tsundere, so it's gotta suck, right?
No, but yeah, what's your contention on the plot?
Well, like all of it. Like, okay, why did he fight them in the first place if they weren't even bad people? Like, why was he on the other side of the war? And then when the war's over, why do you go to the enemy side that you just fought? No shit, they wouldn't want you there. You just decimated half their forces.
It's all explained.
You left their nation in shambles. It's not a good explanation. It's stupid.
Okay, wait. Okay, can I talk about spoiler?
Yes.
Which you can just go You can put this at the end of the episode or something, Dad.
Okay, I'll make a note. Next on the list is Spy X Family. I don't know if I'm supposed to pronounce the X or not, but it's written there. I pronounce it.
I don't think it matters.
I'm not reading the French language, okay? I pronounce all the letters.
It's like Hunter X Hunter. You're not supposed to say the X and then fuck you. I'm going to pronounce it whether you like it or not.
Yeah, well, yeah, you could have just put a space if you didn't want people to pronounce the X. That's kind of your fault.
So yeah, do I even need to introduce this? I think this is something
I think everybody knows. Yeah, this was like the anime.
So yeah, season one was really fun, but unfortunately I can't see the same for season two. I am late on it. There was a lot of like Anya focus episode like at school. And honestly, I kind of don't like this episode in season two.
Nigga, so what? So, it's great stuff. Anya is best.
Yeah, girl. I have to disagree. I thought it was quite good.
Sure, so, I still need to finish season two, though. So maybe my opinion of it will change. But like, we got a bunch of Anya focus apps like in the middle of season two, and was like, that's why I stalled.
See, this is the kind of slice of life that I actually enjoy, you know, because the characters are interesting and kind of funny. Like, this isn't like a ha-ha, bust-your-gut laughing kind of funny. It's just like a sensible chuckle kind of funny.
Yeah, but...
And it's overall just sort of wholesome and, like, easy to watch.
What I really like about the show is Lloyd and Yor, like, doing some fucking bullshit. And just being, like, stuck in the middle. But then when it's just cool shit, I just kind of tune out. Like the episode in season two where they were just like fucking doing like papier-mâché shit. I don't like that.
So what is the word that you just said? Did you mean papier-mâché?
Yeah. Papier-mâché. Okay. It's a French word, so.
I know, but we say it the anglicized way. So I didn't I was like, what the fuck was that word?
You want to eat some horse deovers?
Oh, that's, stop that's it.
That's some what? Hors d'oeuvres?
Hors d'oeuvres.
The hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah, we don't pronounce it with the like we have a loogie in your mouth.
Spy Family is but I'm sure everyone listening to this has already watched it. And Anya's best girl, I want to pat her on the head and give her candy. And tell her she is.
Yeah.
I just don't like her fuck yes episode. I like everything else when there's action with like Yor and Lloyd, but just the Anya fuck yes episode, like I don't know.
I like it. She's just like a retarded little kid. All kids are kind of retarded. And yeah, I don't know. She's cute and kind of funny.
Yeah, her antics when she tries to do the things young children do, and she keeps fucking up even though she has mind-reading powers. It's amusing, but yeah, I can see why you don't like it as much as the action scenes.
Yeah, I came for the more action stuff, which season one was packed with, and this is why season two is a bit more like disappointing, but I haven't dropped it yet. I haven't even seen the white-haired lady, so I don't know how much this changes the anime. Like I'm talking.
Oh, that was a good episode. I like the tennis episode.
I'm talking as if season two was a complete loss, but it's just me stalling because I don't like some episodes in the middle. And surprisingly, this is why I drop stuff sometimes, because I get across some episode I really don't like, and then I fucking stall forever. And
You can watch those on 1.5 speed, power through.
Yeah, maybe. But anyways, let's just move on. Everyone knows about Spy X Family. So, second anime of the season goes to Birdie Wing Golf Girl Story. The story centers on two young woman golfers named Eve and Aoi Amawashi. The two come from completely different backgrounds, and they have the completely opposite playstyles, and together they will shake the world of golf. What a fucking shit synopsis. It explains nothing. So yeah, so Aoi Amawashi, she's just kind of like a rich girl whose parents were into golf, and then like she was raised from her childhood to be like the perfect golfer. But then you have Eve, which actually belongs in she runs an orphanage with her two other friends, and she actually plays underground golf for money. And shit is interesting. Like, how could a golf anime be this fucking good? Well, they fucking did it. They fucking did it. Also, this is completely anime original. This has no source, no manga.
I saw one episode of this. It didn't capture my attention.
Yeah, same.
I've seen so many other anime that are sport plus anime wackiness that it didn't really interest me.
I don't know. I just love the shit out of this. However, it kind of soured on some people because it ends up with Eve and Aoi being in Japan attending school. And this is just kind of really fucking weird of going from like underground golf gambling to just like school. And now we have a season 2 coming, like I think like next season or something. Yeah, start date April 2023. So I'm looking forward to more of this. Let's see where it goes. So we have Eve and Aoi finally together. Playing in tournament, and playing together
as a couple, as a married lesbian couple. Yeah,
I wish this has no reunion.
This podcast does not recognize the sodomite mockery of marriage.
Well, they can't sodomize each other. They don't have anything to do that with.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was gonna say. But anyways, y'all haven't fucking seen this, and we need to fucking move on.
All right, so move to your anime of the season.
Paripi Kome, also known as Ya Boy Kongming. That is a
Ya Nigga Kongming.
Ya Nigga Kongming.
Can you read the synopsis of that?
Fate and reincarnation deliver brilliant military strategist Kong Ming from warring ancient China to Japan's modern party hotspot in Shibuya City, Tokyo. After a lifetime of battles and military skirmishes, Kong Ming wished with his last breath to be reborn in a world of peace and prosperity. It's nearly two millennia later, and he's finding his way in a very different world than that of his past life. When he meets Eiko, an amateur musician with big dreams, the unlikely duo strikes up an even unlikelier friendship. Eiko has street smarts to help Kong Ming navigate this strange new world, and Kong Ming will use his strategic mind to help Eiko achieve stardom.
A really good synopsis for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Sentai Filmworks.
Yes, based Sentai Filmworks. So the premise of the show sounds really fucking stupid, but goddamn, does it work?
It's perfectly.
This was freaking great.
It's fantastic.
So you have this old fucking general from the Three Kingdoms. He just comes and use his warfare knowledge and apply them in real life to make Eiko more popular. A more popular singer. This is absolutely fucking nuts, and it's amazing.
Yeah, he literally just becomes her agent. And then he just facilitates her slow rise to stardom. And you actually, like, you really do root for her, because the songs are actually pretty good.
Yeah, you never really, I think, get full song, but you still, like, get part of song, so it actually show her singing and all, so...
Yeah, the songs are fantastic, yeah. And this also has superb animation. It didn't really need to, because the focus is on the music and Kong Ming's schemes, but no, this looks gorgeous.
Also, the opening is fantastic.
I know you got to use that for the episode song or something, because that Shiki Bon Bon, whatever that song
is. Yeah, I think I already did in a previous episode. Oh, but damn. Fuck it, I'll use it again.
It's that good, you got to use it twice.
Well, yeah, so everyone agrees this anime of the season.
Yeah, I think we can all agree. This was fucking fantastic.
If I have any complaint about it, is I don't like the rapper character.
He was not my favorite.
He's okay, but okay, so my French friend were translating this, and I really feel for them for that one episode.
Where he raps using various puns that are just about impossible to translate.
Yeah, for the entire fucking episode, it was like just this.
Just a fucking text wall of translator notes.
Fucking
God.
I'm really glad. So fucked. I'm really glad I did not have to translate any of this shit.
Yeah.
Just imagine the work on this, Jesus.
Yeah, I like Spy X Family a little bit better, but this is a respectable choice for top anime of the season.
I think I like this better than Spy Family, honestly. I like Spy Family, but I don't think it was quite as good as a lot of people like to say it is. Not that it's bad, I thought it was quite good, but I don't know, Paripi Kome, when that show ended, I actually felt a little sad.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I was like, oh, damn, I just want more of this. And, like, you really just want to root for Eiko to, like, actually achieve her dream, because she's a likable character. And Kongming is actually kind of smart. Like, it's really hard to portray a character that's a genius when you're not a genius. But it's kind of believable that he actually is able to pull off a lot of this shit.
Yeah, his experience as a general lets him predict human behavior and
It's basically him like studying the psychology of the human mind and knowing how to like navigate through like the bullshit that people have to go through to get to stardom.
And all of this using like actual like strategy that he used in the past and the Three Kingdoms story. It's just ridiculous.
It is some Sun Tzu bullshit that he pulls off.
Yeah, to funnel people into seeing Eiko singing. It's just great. This is a fantastic anime.
Yeah, which is a perfectly like reasonable and like believable strategy.
I also liked the cranky old manager guy who he was managing like Eiko's competition, and he was just the soulless bureaucratic guy, but the power of her music caused him to shed a tear.
Yeah, that's on, like a lot of people do get into certain industries because they genuinely love them, but then just over time their souls get crushed because they realize there's like politics behind like every fucking facet of every industry, and so if you don't play the game by the rules, you get fucked.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't know what else to say about this. It's just really good, and some people were slept on this, and you really shouldn't, because goddamn was it good.
It's well worth the while. I'm going to remember this for a long fucking time.
Yeah, highly recommend.
I want it. Yeah, I want another season of this shit, dude.
and that's it for spring 2022.
Yeah, great season. Lots of good stuff.
Great season. Really solid season.
And the next one is better.
Yeah, the next one is better. And then the one after this is even better.
Fucking nuts, dude. This year was nuts.
This was a crazy fucking year. I think that summer 2022 and fall 2022 are probably some of the best seasons.
That was the
last 13 years.
Fucking peak anime, dude.
Feels
fucking
good.
Fucking weeboos were eating good for like most of the year, honestly. It was just fucking nonstop, like good shit coming out.
And yeah, so we'll save summer for another time. Anyways, my throat is fucking dead. I was watching and talking to Weeble before this, so my throat is gone.
Yeah. We'll have her on the podcast again sometime. We need to find a good subject to discuss.
So, anyways, I've been... let's talk about video games. So, we finally got Wario Land 5. It's called Pizza Tower, and it's out. It's not Japanese, but it's literally Wario Land 5.
I literally just heard about that game the other day from my buddy.
I mean, just look at the video on the Steam page. It's literally the Wario Land 4 moveset, except even more. And the character, man, it's so fucking well animated. It's basically Wario.
I remember looking at the trailer, and the art style kind of reminded me of Ren and Stimpy, something like that.
Yeah, it says that it's inspired by a 90s cartoon.
Yeah, you can definitely feel that when you watch it.
I played the demo of this a couple of years ago. It was pretty good, so I need to buy this.
Yeah. Nobody here has actually played it, though, right?
I played it. I bought it. Okay. I played it on my Steam Deck. It works. Nice. It already works.
Great. So is it fun? You really enjoy it?
Yeah, it's really fun. I finished the first world, and I'm looking forward to more. But I just haven't had time.
Fair enough.
Nice. So I've been playing a video.
Okay.
Shin Megami Tensei Devil Survivor 2.
Oh, fuck. That one's hard.
Now, the original came out for the DS on 2009. I've been playing the updated version on the 3DS, which came out in 2015. And surprisingly, it not only adds a whole bunch of new material, when you start the game up, it asks you if you want to skip to the new material. So you can go
if it assumes that, like, you played the game before on DS, that's interesting.
Yeah, so you can go straight to the post game content if you want to.
Interesting. Okay.
And as we've discussed on this podcast before, the first game is freaking excellent. Just one of my all time best games. And this one is not quite as excellent. I don't like the characters as much, but it's still very good. And the gameplay is excellent. Like, it gives more options for physical damage dealing characters. That was a problem with the first one. The sequel gives more physical attack skills, more options in that area. And the story's not bad. It's just not quite as good as the first one. Because you have a cast of characters who are stuck in Japan under a lockdown as demons attack. And bad stuff happens, and they have to try to prevent it. But you've played both these games, Full Metal?
I never finished the first one because my save somehow got corrupted, and I didn't want to play through it again.
That's why you always save in multiple slots.
Sorry, I was looking some shit up. What game are you talking about?
Devil Survivor 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I haven't played these.
So I didn't finish the first one, but I did finish the second one, and that one was kind of hard, I remember. Maybe that was just because I was the first like hard RPG I ever played, but I just remember struggling with the final boss there, even though I was like level 99, or like close to it.
Dude, you don't need to grind that much. You just need to play smart.
I know, but I kept just getting fucked, and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, and I forgot what I did, but I managed to rethink my strategy, and I actually did win.
Wait, was it the regular final boss or the optional super boss, Satan?
I think it was the optional, I don't remember. I remember fighting God or something like that.
Yeah, you fight the Demiurge at some point, and as well as these weird ass monsters that come from the sky, like an Evangelion.
Yeah, I think that's what I thought.
Yeah, but there's an optional super boss, Satan, which will kick your ass even if you have a maxed out level party. Like, I thought he was basically impossible until I saw a really specific strategy on YouTube of someone who was able to pull it off.
I mean, that's like every SMT game. There's always that one fuck you boss that you can only beat if you get like this, like the strongest items or equipment, and you like go into it with this like gimmicky strategy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly like, what happened.
That was like the new game plus boss fight for Persona 5 when you, I guess this isn't much of a spoiler, when you fight the twins in new game plus, holy fuck, they kick your fucking teeth in if you don't play with the right persona.
Yeah, that two Devil Survivor games, they're my by far my favorite from the SMT series. And I wish they'd make more, but they haven't done anything with it in 8 years.
Unfortunately, yeah. I'm not too familiar with this series. I played the Persona 3 FPS on PS2, and I loved it in the beginning, but then fucking hated it. I think you can't... It was one of those versions you can't even control your
the only Persona game where you couldn't control your party, and that was just fucking retarded.
Yeah,
I don't know why they did that.
I know they fixed that in re-releases, but I still haven't bothered with them. Just play Devil Survivor; it's brilliant.
I have the Digital Devil Saga games on PS2, I think.
Now, you should play Devil Survivor because the gameplay-wise, when you get into battle, everything's laid out on a grid. So it's kind of like a strategy RPG, but when you have two characters attack each other, it goes into a standard turn-based combat, but only for two rounds.
Yeah, it's actually really interesting.
Yeah, and I watched the anime for Devil Survivor 2. A lot of people didn't like it, but I kind of did. So.
They do that every time there's like an adaptation of one of the SMT games. Like, people have bitched about like the Persona 5 anime, and it's like, it did what it could with the time that it had and the budget that it had. I thought it was perfectly fine. I don't know what they expected out of it.
Can't say. If
you want the full story with every S-Link, then play the fucking game.
Of course.
Yeah, but, this one has some of that shit you see in the Persona games where you have to talk to characters to increase your friendship level. But this one, there's a point to it because people are dying. And you have, it's not possible to save everyone, but the more people you can make friends with, the more you can save, and some of them will even join your team. So there's a lot of replay value. There's multiple paths to go down. It's just everything I like about the SMT games. The Devil Survivor series does it the best.
Yeah.
So, Full Metal, you wanted to talk about a video, right?
Yes, I did. So, I've been playing a game, and I actually just beat it recently, called Symphony of War, the Nephilim Saga. So this game came out, like, not that long ago. It was, like, the middle of, like, 2022 or something like that.
Oh, shit, not the Nephilim. You see, these Nephilim, they have the secret bloodlines, infest our leaders of the elites today. We gotta stop the fucking globalists, people.
Can you link to the game? I don't think I've heard of it.
Yeah, nobody's fucking heard of it. Yeah, I'll link it to you. So it's basically Fire Emblem or like Final Fantasy Tactics, kind of. It's it's a strategy RPG. It's like a tile based thing, and it's made all entirely in RPG Maker. Funny enough. But don't let that deter you. It's a good fucking game. Like,
yeah,
I was genuinely impressed with it.
What's the gameplay like?
It's only the gameplay like it's like it's like Fire Emblem or like Final Fantasy Tactics. It's a tile like strategy RPG, and you have units that go out on the map, and you fight other units, and then you capture points, and that's how you beat the map.
Oh, it has actual giants in it, so
this looks pretty fantastic for RPG Maker. Except that one map at like 1 minute where it looks like they're using like default RPG Maker tile, but whatever. Otherwise, to make this an RPG Maker is absolutely fucking nuts.
This is made by a studio that's only ever made like one other game or something. And they're like really small. I think it's probably less than 10 people, I think. And it's really impressive what they were able to do with this in RPG Maker. So it's not just like your standard Fire Emblem. Like you have like your main units, like the ones you get through the story, which are like your story characters that are like relevant to the plot. Those ones don't die, but all of your generic units do, unless you turn off like that. You can play it safe if you want to, but you make a lieutenant for a unit, and then you add a bunch of generic units to fill up the rest of the tiles for your squad. And depending on how good of a leader like your lieutenant is how many like items you can have equipped and how many people you can have in your squad. So it's actually worth like sticking to certain units and like grinding them to be better, so you can make the squad as a whole powerful. And each unit has their own like flaws and strengths.
Yeah,
and there's like a bunch of different classes.
I checked it. It is indeed made by an RPG Maker VXX.
Yeah, it is. It's you can tell like all the assets are RPG Maker, or most of them. There are some self-made assets.
I don't even have a giantess fetish, but this looks pretty cool.
Yeah, there is a giantess lady. So if you have a mommy dommy giantess fetish, that she's definitely for you. Because she does actually have a son. She is a real mother.
She's a MILF so on top of that. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, she is a MILF. She's a certified MILF.
Oh, shit.
And she, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Diana's fucking great.
I'm going to check this out later.
Yeah, you definitely need to check this out, man. It's definitely worth it. And it's only like $20, like, regularly. And this is also on GOG. So if you want to get it on GOG, you can do that, too.
Yeah, no DRM.
If you don't like Steam.
It's RPG Maker, so there's probably no DRM on Steam in the first place. However, I don't
probably not, but
know.
If I don't know. I got it off of GOG, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably possible to put like teamwork DRM on RPG Maker games. I don't know. However, not all games on Steam are actually all at the DRM. There's actually a bunch of games that are DRM free.
Yeah, the only other good RPG Maker game is Fear and Hunger.
Yeah. So though this is only like $20, this is a long game. This is like 40 to 60 hours, depending on how much effort you really put into like building units and whether you play it on hard mode or easy mode.
All right, I can't wait to spurg out over this.
You
later.
Can definitely get your money worth. Yeah, no, this is it. I was shocked at how good it was, and I really fucking enjoyed it. Like, if you're a fan of like the older style, like Fire Emblems, and less so much of the newer ones, this is more in line with that. But with the added like quality of life changes that some of the newer ones have added. And there is like a relationship system, kind of. You don't really build up relationships. It happens during the story, and you can choose whether people actually like become friends or lovers. And that mostly what that just does is give your units a morale boost if they're near somebody they actually care about.
Lewd.
It doesn't really get too dirty. This is pretty, like, PG. The story itself is pretty, like, PG-13 for the most part. Until there's some moments where there's some shocking moments where people are just brutalized. It's freaking, like, holy shit.
Yeah, freaking cool. I'm going to check this out.
I added it to my wish list for sure.
All right, before we go, we need to talk about the movie we watched yesterday for Shitposter movie night. It was Mack Ross, Do You Remember Love, from 1984.
It was decent, but not amazing.
The plot's pretty stupid. It's the power of love triumphs over all, which, to be fair, was not a cliche by 1984 yet, but still pretty stupid. Although the visuals kick ass. I love all the mechanical parts, the spaceships, the explosions, the missiles. It's good.
On the other end, there was a lot of shot that looks amazing, and then the next shot looks like shit. Like the visuals were inconsistent.
There were some scenes where the characters just look like formless blobs for a few seconds because it's not an important scene.
Not just the character, it just looks like everything in the scene was like suddenly significantly of a lesser quality than the last. And that was kind of distracting.
It feels like they kind of shifted their budget around for certain scenes. Like when the action's going on, most of the time it looked really, really good, but a lot of scenes also just did not look super great.
Also, every scene without the idol girl was boring. No, not really.
Of course.
not really, but I thought that her absence. At some point in the movie was really felt, I think.
Well, her name's Lin Min Mei, so maybe she's supposed to be Chinese. In the future year of 2009.
Yeah, that's the 2009 I want to live in. Not really, they were getting pretty fucked there for a minute.
Yeah, Miu only paid attention to the parts with idol shit, but there's a lot of good action in it.
It was decent, but I'm not going crazy about it. Maybe the sequels are better. I want to see the one with Ren Kelly because she's fucking cute. The greener girl. Because I really want my fucking greener girl.
Yeah, I noticed there's one of the alien chicks was a green haired woman in a red spacesuit. May have inspired Metroid. I don't know.
Maybe.
This ancient alien song.
Didn't Metroid come out in like 85?
Like 86, I think. Mm-hmm. So, also, you can cure women of their stupidity and selfishness by slapping them.
Based?
This is one of the animes I saw when I was a kid. And one of my friends I watched it with was so inspired by it, he wanted to use Legos to create a shopping mall that transforms into a kaiju. But unfortunately, we were poor as hell, so it was not possible with early 90s Lego technology. Or maybe some brilliant engineer could have done it, not some dumbass 9-year-olds.
Yeah. That would have needed a shitload of Legos.
God, I couldn't even fucking imagine. They have a TV show showing people building like all these elaborate Legos, and I'm just like, man, I don't know how people did that shit. I couldn't even do the fucking kits when I was a kid without fucking them up somehow.
I never cared about the kits. I just took the pieces and did whatever fuck I wanted with them.
Yeah, I used to just build like random buildings and then crash my cars into them.
No, I'd build mutants and aliens and shit and have them fight each other.
But anyways,
Macross,
It was all right. Nothing amazing. The plot was kind of dumb. The animation could have been better, but I'm...
Yeah, it's well remembered for a good reason, but it's not amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And the idol shit was actually pretty decent, surprisingly. Normally I'm not really into that, but I found
yeah, it had all these lasers and holograms and shit animated by hand. It looks really good.
You ended up having like a lot of really cool song throughout the movie. That was one of the better stuff about the movie, I think. You know, that cool Japanese 80s J-pop.
Yeah, this ancient alien song. It sounds an awful lot like 80s J-pop.
Weird how that is.
Also, they announced a truce with the aliens on September 11th. The chat got a kick out of that.
Quite the coincidence.
I need to watch more Macross. There's more movies in a TV series.
That was the first Macross anything that I've seen. I never got into any mech shit, but I've known about Macross like forever. This is the first time I've ever actually seen any of it. So it was decent. I pretty much agree with all Amuse points on it.
Yeah, he's correct. All right. Anything else we want to discuss before we wrap this up?
Nope. We're done.
Nah, I feel like we talked about enough.
Yeah, I got some manga I've been reading, but I can talk about that at any time. It's like evergreen material.
Sure.
Right.
Also, I'm like 800 chapters into One Piece. Still going.
Nice. Which arc?
Dressrosa, getting to the final battle of it.
Oh, what do you think about it so far? I told you that it was water 7 times 10.
Freaking love it. When Trafalgar Law's backstory. Fuck, that was good.
Yeah, basically, the thing is that water 7... At the end of it, you had like the villager coming with the straw hats. However, they were not really combating. So, and this, it actually happens again, but you actually get like powerful pirates being involved.
For a long time, Crocodile was my favorite villain of the series, but I think Don Quixote Doflamingo has replaced him.
Yeah, and his theme is really weird overall because I feel like everyone in his team, except for himself, really let themselves go.
Yeah, a lot of his minions could have been heroes under other circumstances, but he just poisoned them with his evil ways.
Yeah, pretty much.
But we'll do a full One Piece episode sometime. I think Mothball said he was also reading the manga, and he was only one arc behind me. So maybe we could have him on in the next few months.
Sure.
Damn, every nigga has fucking read One Piece except for me.
It's good.
Dude, just watch the anime, bro.
Yeah, just take a couple years to watch the anime.
I can't do this shit, man. I can't do this shit.
It's
1,000 episodes and like half of it's filler.
Not filler, but there's actually zero filler, but it's just really fucking slow. Like the episodes are going like at 0.5 chapter.
It's crazy. Surprisingly little filler in the anime from what I've heard, but I'm just reading it.
Actually, the filler episodes in the anime are pretty decent. Some of the better filler because they're not long and they don't overstay their welcome.
But we'll talk more about that in a future episode. Also, a couple episodes ago, I got Full Metal to promise to read Berserk.
He's not doing it.
I figured you were going to hold that to me.
Oh, I'll hold it against you like Donovan against Kid Guts.
I understand that reference because I've been spoiled on every important part of Berserk.
Dude, I keep rereading Berserk and it's still great every time, even though I know everything that's going to happen. So you'll probably love it, even your first time around.
Anyways, I need to go to bed. So let's just wrap this up.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to head out too. So come to the Fediverse. Yada yada.
Later.
Good night.
Fuck off.
All right, so spoilers for Yusha Yamimas. All right, so what happens is that while fighting the demons, the hero discovers that the demons were actually actively trying to not kill anyone. What happens is that they capture a town, and then they just kind of treat the people there well. And then the hero wonders, what is exactly their point? Of course, the hero being the hero is extremely strong, so he ends up just, pushing them back. And then he ends up, like, helping the general, blah, blah, blah. And then you got the weird plot point that's actually really fucking interesting. It turns out that this is actually a world in the future, and the hero is, he's kind of like an engineered superhuman that was created when the demon actually started invading Earth and killing everything because they were stronger than the military.
Okay. And
it just ends up that the demons ended up being stuck on Earth for some reason or whatever. There was like good demons, bad demon, etc. So yeah, so this is basically thousands of years in the future, and it just turns out that the demon lord is searching for some sort of super-powered stone that she wants to use to bring back to the demon world and actually make their world more livable, because demons are always fighting because they live in a, the usual, they live like in a shit destroyed world. And then the heroes come with a suggestion. The core is important for human. However, there's a second core that you can actually get. So he brings them in the middle of nowhere and the snowy mountains. And you have the four general and demon lord. And then the hero, he pulls his sword out and he say, all right, so if you want the core, you're going to have to kill me, because the core you're searching is kind of like my my central, it's kind of like my heart. And then he starts fighting the demon. The demon starts fighting him. And that's what I was so fucking impressed at. The small trickling of plot points. Because I found the show just kind of comfy. Just, the hero helping the demon general, etc. And then, like, the plot started dropping. I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then the plot continued dropping. Oh, that's really fucking interesting. And then, the final arrived where the hero started fighting the demon for his core, because it just turns out that the hero is made to actually protect you, human. And when there is no strife, he kind of starts going crazy because he is made for war, and he is going to, make that strife. So he was looking at the demons like, just fucking kill me and end my fucking suffering. And man, I was so fucking impressed at all that plot drop. So what do you think?
You've given a pretty good defense of it.
What do you think, Pullman?
I think it's...
I think, no, fuck you, you fucking frog.
Yeah, fuck yourself, Felipe. No, I don't know, it's just... That's a little better, but that's not enough for me to say it's good.
I don't know, you have to see it, like, happen. Like, the small trickling down, But I suppose that if you didn't enjoy like the slice of life shit where the hero just kind of fix the problems the demon army, then probably you will enjoy this. But I kind of enjoy this shit. And of course,
it's just none of it really made any sense to me.
When it was this, it was not anime of the season. But then, like the small plot trickling, I was like, I like where this is going. And this is why this has a special place in the middle of the season, because I feel like it just kind of fucking earned it.
All right. If that's your opinion on it.
All right. So, spoilers for Yusha Yamemas and. So, you can just put this like at the end of the podcast there.
Sure.